Bibles this morning, open up to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. Just because it's Mother's Day doesn't mean that everybody else that's not a mother doesn't have to listen. The message is applicable for everybody. I know you say, well, it's a Mother's Day message. That means that since I'm a guy, I don't have to listen. No, I think we could actually take the word mother out of this and make this applicable pretty much for most people. And I think at least some of the points will hit home in the very least. The last point, how mothers should be appreciated, is something that we can all learn from. Proverbs chapter number 31, we're going to look in verses 10 through 31. We're going to read through all these verses, but then we're going to pull out a couple things as we look at a mother needs God's help. A mother needs God's help. And like I said, you could take that word out and you could put anybody's name in. A father needs God's help. A child needs God's help. We all are in need of God's help. But here this morning, we're going to focus in a little bit in this passage of Scripture and see this point that a mother needs God's help. Now, we're going to be looking at what most people would call this passage about the virtuous woman. This virtuous woman here, this word virtuous means a woman of character, a woman of strength, and a woman of real ability here. Now, when you read through this, ladies, I don't want you to get disappointed because all the different things she does, this is a guide that we've been given to look at and help us understand, but we're going to go over that in just a little while. Let's go ahead and look here in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar off. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night." You see what it says in verse number 15, she riseth also while it's yet night, talking about how early she gets up, but also here it talks about how her candle doesn't go out at nighttime. She was a busy, busy lady. Verse number 19, "She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, I do pray that you just calm our hearts and our minds, Lord, and that you give us exactly what you want us to have this morning, this message. Lord, that you speak to every heart that's here. Lord, if there's someone that's here today that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching of your word. But Lord, also for all the believers that are here, Lord, I pray you help us. Help us in these different areas that we're going to look at. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see, I think, is first of us, and when I'm saying mother, I'm talking about a good mother here. I'm not talking about, sometimes we know, unfortunately, one of the things that disturbs us, and when we look at society today, there are some mothers who do not take care of their children. There are some mothers who abuse their children. There's some mothers that even cast their children away. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about someone who has an interest in being a good mother. A good mother is going to need God's help. You say, a good mother, what do they need God's help for? They're good already. No, the only reason why anybody is good at all is because of the help that God has given them. First thing I want you to see, and this is a pretty evident point, is that mothers are busy. Mothers are busy. I would think that some ladies would probably say amen to that, but I guess not. But mothers, they're busy. Even the mother, you read these verses and you think, wow, this woman here was a busy lady. She was not a person that was idle. She was a person who worked hard. She woke up early. She stayed up late doing work. And you see all the different attributes and the characteristics that are there. And we'll be honest with you, most mothers are busy today. Whether the child is in the home still, whether the child is out of the home, if it is a full-time job, being a mom, especially if you have your children in the home still, is definitely a full-time job. If you listen to this illustration, it says a mother's salary. Salary.com conducted a survey in 2010 that attempted to place a monetary value on the work of a stay-at-home mom. They determined that if mothers were to be paid for their 10 most common tasks in their home, and I'm sure these ladies probably wish there was only 10 things they had to do, but if a mother was supposed to get paid for the 10 most common tasks in their home, which includes laundry machine operator, janitor, van driver, computer operator, housekeeper, daycare center teacher, cook, chief executive officer, a psychologist, and facilities managers, they would make $117,855.86 a year. That's pretty good, isn't it? I think that that's how much they would make, and that's how much they would make out inside the work world. The largest piece of the pie comes from overtime. It says pay, overtime pay, as a man works from sun up to sundown, but the thing says, but a woman's work is never done. And it says those who have a job and have children at their home would make $71,860 plus their wages if they got paid for all the things they did. To be honest with you, mothers are busy ladies. And I think that's why God's created us. God has created us. Yes, I know there is a time for meditation. There is a time for yourself a little bit. But it is something that God has intended, and God has made us and created us, especially at certain points in our life, to be busy and serving the Lord. And as a mother serves in the house, they are serving the Lord as they do certain things that honors and pleases the Lord. So I want you to get to understand, mothers, I do understand that you are busy. Ladies, I do understand that you have a lot to do. So it's not something that I'm trying to be discouraging. I'm trying to give you a helpful message today that can help guide and help you understand that you need God's help. If you look around the house and you see some of the different responsibilities you have, and maybe even work responsibilities and children responsibilities, you say, boy, I could use some help. Well, the truth is, you could, but the greatest help you can get is from God. And mothers are busy people, but because of that, mothers need God's help. Second thing I want you to understand why mothers need God's help is because mothers have great influence. Mothers have great influence. Once again, we're talking about people who want to be good mothers. I'm not talking about people who really don't have an interest in raising their children and doing what they're supposed to, but mothers have a great influence. The sad thing is, a mother can influence someone to do what's right. They can influence them in the way of the Lord, and they can influence them to have high character, and they can influence them the things about church, and they can influence them about things about leadership. You can influence them about even the way that you view the pastor. You know, you can as a mother, many times you can influence the people, especially the children in your household and your grandchildren, for good things. But the bad thing is that even in the Bible, there were some mothers that did not influence their children for good things. They influenced them for bad things. I've been in the ministry for almost 10 years now. Can you believe that? I've been here for almost 10 years. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But almost 10 years. And in that 10 years, I've seen parents have great influence over their children, but especially mothers have this great influence. Mothers can get their kids to go to church and be excited about the things of God, but I've actually even seen mothers discourage their kids from going to church. Isn't that sad? I mean, I've seen kids be excited and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed about, hey, mom, I want to go to church. Hey, dad, I want to go to church. I want to go to the classes. I want to sing the songs. I want to go to the activities. But I've also seen mothers try to say, oh, wouldn't you rather do this? I also seen mothers say, no, not this week. I've seen mothers use their influence for great, great things. I've also seen mothers influence their kids to things that are not. Now, once again, if we're gonna have a Mother's Day message, there are going to be some good things, but there are also going to be some thought-provoking things. How are you influencing, and we won't get context of this with mothers because they had the greatest influence, but all of us, how are you using our influences? Are we really truly influencing our kids or the people that are around us to be faithful? Are we really truly encouraging them for the things that are good? I tell you that I remember that I could go out and spend hours with my son to try to make him the best basketball player to ever be and encourage him and go out there and cheer for him and out there shoot layups with him and get rebounds. And I could do all these things to encourage them. Hey, you know what? You should follow after that dream. You should grasp. You should work hard. You need to develop character. But if I can't use my influence to be able to influence them to the things of God, I'm missing the point why God gave me that influence I have. Because children are a gift from the Lord. They're a heritage of the Lord. And that's what, when we got to make sure that we're using our influence. So take a thought-provoking moment inside yourself and say, how am I influencing my kids? Am I encouraging them in the ways of the Lord? Am I encouraging them to do what's right? Am I encouraging them to live for God? Or with my actions? Or with my voice? Or even with my treasure or my finances? Am I encouraging them to look other things and look at other people? I want you to remember, influence is a great thing. You say, Pastor, that's true. How do I then influence my kids? Well, I want you to think about this verse that's found in Proverbs 12, verse 18. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I've heard people use their tongues in ways that can encourage. I have heard people use their tongues in ways that tear down. You know, be careful what you say about the church or the church leadership or even your kids' teachers in front of them. Because I know I've seen kids grow up. No respect for their parents. But the reason why many times they have no respect for their parents is because their parents doesn't have respect for their teachers or the other authorities in their lives. So you need to be careful there how you use your influence. I want to give you a story about that. When future President Abraham Lincoln was just 9 years old, his mother Nancy died after drinking milk from a cow that had eaten a poisonous plant. Though she only had those few years in which to impact his life, she used them well. Listen to Lincoln's testimony. He says, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. But it was not just in her teaching that she touched my life. Lincoln also said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. So Nancy Lincoln used her influence to make a difference in Abraham Lincoln's life. And it was only 9 short years. You think, well, the kids can't even talk for a year. You know, that was a short years. You know, those 2 years, you know, learning. She used that time of influence. I want you to think about another story, though, in contrast to the good example set by Nancy Lincoln. Consider another mother. She was angry and abusive toward her youngest son. When classmates teased him, calling him Ozzie Rabbit because he was so small but he had big ears, she told her son that they were right. The boy's older brother later said, we learned very early that we were a burden to her. She wanted to be free of the responsibility of her children. That boy was Lee Harvey Oswald, became the household name when he assassinated President Kennedy. You see the two complete differences there? Their own children saying, hey, I was a burden to my parents. I was a burden to my mother. She didn't want us around. The other one saying, I remember my mom's prayers. They're what kept me my whole entire life. And what great influence we have as parents. But mothers, what a great influence you have. The words of a mother, indeed the words of any of us that we use toward others, has enormous power. They can deeply wound or they can heal. Knowing this truth, I think we need to remember what the Apostle Paul said. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Remember, you have great influence. Make sure you're using it for good. The third thing I want you to understand, reason why we need God's help is number one, because mothers are busy. And I believe you should take care of yourself, health-wise too. I know sometimes mothers are so busy that they don't take care of themselves. I'm not saying that, but mothers are busy. Another thing is because of how great your influence is. The third reason why you need God's help is because mothers need to fear the Lord. You need God's help in understanding who He is and fearing Him. Look here what it says, and we'll go to verse number 16 first. I'm sorry, verse number 26 verse, it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. That's chapter 31, verse 26. That was for the point earlier. It talks about how she opens her mouth. She is one that speaks with wisdom, but she also is one that speaks with the law of kindness. Believe me, how we treat one another is so important and so vital. Look down, verse number 30. Mothers need to fear the Lord. Verse number 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. You think about this. The Bible's saying that the person that is not the most beautiful mother, is not the one who has high favor, even with other people or even with her kids. The person who will be praised, the person who will make the difference, as we talk about our theme for this year, making the mother who will make the difference, is the mother that fears the Lord. The mother that has the right perspective of who God is. Take your Bibles and go back a few chapters in chapter 24. Chapter 24. Now, at this point in time in the message, some of you might be overwhelmed. Say, okay, I am busy. I don't have any idea how I'm going to be able to do anything. I don't know what else I can change, what else I can do differently. Then you get this guilt trip because of the fact that I'm not influencing my kids right. So how in the world can I influence my kids? Well, look here in chapter number 24 and look in verse number 3. Chapter 24, verse number 3 says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. So here's the thing, is we need God's help. Where does wisdom come from? Where is the beginning of wisdom? Well, Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you really want to have wisdom, moms, dads, teenagers, kids, whoever's here, aunts, uncles, man, woman, if you want to have wisdom, you have to have the right perspective of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We all live busy lives today. We live in like a microwave society where everybody wants everything right now. And we're always busy about doing one thing or another, trying to accomplish the next great thing. But if we really truly want to build a life, if we really truly want to build a home, if we really truly want to build something that is going to make a difference in the lives of the people that we influence, we need God's help. And that's what it says in verse number 3, through wisdom is a house builded. We need some wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? We get it from God. And when we have the right perspective of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all that do His commandments, His praise endure forever. You say, okay, Pastor, I need wisdom. That's for sure. I definitely need wisdom in my heart, and I need wisdom in my life. Where do I get wisdom from? Well, I'm glad you asked. In James chapter number 1, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, what does it tell you to do? That's right. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How many of us really depend on God when it comes to our families? How many of us really get on our knees and pray to God and say, God, I need help. I need your wisdom on how to do and how to take care of this. I influence kids. I influence my family. How I need my help. I need your help, Lord. How many of us really, truly see our need for God and we ask God for wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you continue in that verse, it says, he giveth to all men, that includes women too, giveth to all men liberally. He's not trying to make you feel guilty about it. He's not trying to make you feel bad about it. He's saying, hey, if you need some help, if you need to know where to turn next, if you need some understanding of how to help your family, just ask. Just ask. He's written a book for us. He sends us preachers. He gives us churches. He gives us teachers. He gives us wise counselors. And if we need some wisdom, we need some help, we need to ask God for it. Yes, mothers, you're busy. Yes, mothers, your influence is great. But we need to learn to fear the Lord. We need to say, yes, yes, I need God's help. And I need God's help with wisdom. A family can only truly know joy when all the family members really truly fear the Lord. Wisdom means understanding of what is true, what is right, and what is lasting. And God will give you this wisdom if you will only ask. Now, some people have this wrong idea of what fear is. Some people, houses are just full of a man who demands reverence and demands respect and tries to treat his wife in a certain way that he tries to make her fear him to be able to do the things they want. And that's not the way the Bible teaches it. But the same thing, if you don't have a man that acts like that, many times you might have a lady who manipulates the circumstances to try to get the husband to do what they want. You need to be very, very careful. So how do I fear the Lord? You have a right respect. a right understanding. There's a cute illustration about this. A man went to the doctor's office to have a small mole removed from his arm. He walked in and the nurse glared at him and said, "Are you going to have a mole removed?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "All right, take your clothes off and go to room 4 and put a robe on and go get in the room." She was nasty to him, mean to him. She says, the man said, "Ma'am, please, I think you're making a mistake for another patient. My mole is right here on my arm. I don't need to take my clothes off." And the lady looked at him with this glare and says, "Go to room 4, take your clothes off and put a robe on." He goes there, he goes to room 4, he listens, he takes his clothes off, put a robe on, and goes and sits down and waits. He's sitting next to somebody, and the guy says, "Man, that lady's tough." And he says, "Yeah, I know, I'm just a UPS man." You know what? That lady did not have a good perspective of what her job was. She wanted things her way, and she demanded that. You know, she had a wrong perspective there. You know, our perspective of God is many times off-kiltered. We need to learn how to fear God. He's the creator of the universe. He is in control of all things. If you're a Christian, He has paid for your soul with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price. Not only does He deserve, He is owed your obedience and your respect. The fear of the Lord, that's where wisdom starts. It doesn't start by just becoming book learned. Doesn't just start because you've accomplished many things. It doesn't just start because you've done some things. Where you really begin to have wisdom and understanding, ladies, is when you learn to fear God. And that's how the right perspective of Him. Think about what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And He says, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will liken them into it will show you to him who he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid a foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it is founded on the rock. But he that heareth and doeth it not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell and ruined the house was great. What the verses are saying there, if a wise man buildeth his house upon the rock, what's the rock? Jesus Christ, the wisdom that they have. The foolish man built his house on the sand. So what does the beginning, what makes a person wise and what makes a person foolish? According to that little parable there, a person is wise when they hear what God wants and they do it. A person is foolish when they hear what God wants and don't do it. We probably, all of us, if not most of us, have been in church many times. And we've heard over and over to where it's coming out of our ears what we should be doing. But God says you're being fooled because you're not willing to do it. But if you want to be wise, I know some of us here probably like to think that we're pretty wise, pretty smart, got a little bit of intelligence. But the Bible says, you want to know how a wise person really is? Is when they hear the word of God, and they obey it. The foolish man is the person who hears it and doesn't do it. The answer is today, are you being wise? We need God's help. We are so busy, mothers are so busy, and they have such great influence. We need to learn to fear the Lord and do what God desires for us to do. Now, there is one thing I want you to understand here. Finding out God's will and doing it is the best thing you can do with your life. To stop at this moment in time, you think about the Mother Mary. Jesus' mother Mary. And Jesus' mother Mary, she came and they told her that she was going to have a child. She obeys God. She says, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." She obeys God. And as she obeys God, what does she do? She does God's will. Christian, doing God's will means understanding who He is. And understanding who He is begins with salvation. True wisdom cannot come from anywhere but God. And salvation is the first step in understanding who God is. So what's salvation? Salvation is when you understand in your heart that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior and you cry out God to save you. I want you to listen really quickly to this. God's will for your life today is to be saved. God's will for your life is that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Where do you see that? It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible is teaching us there are some who are going to perish. There are some who is going to a horrible place called hell. But that is not God's will for your life. Remember, you need God's help. We all need God's help. But the first thing we need God's help with isn't fixing our finances. The first thing we need God's help with isn't trying to help us physically. The first thing we need God's help with is making sure that we know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And this morning, if you've never been saved, the greatest thing you can do for yourself and for your family is recognize that you're a sinner and cry out to Jesus Christ to save your soul. Because that's God's will. And then after that, find out what God wants you to do with your life and then do it. I know sometimes in your busy schedules, you have to pick and choose things. You got to pick and choose. Okay, I got this activity, I got this school event, I got this and I got that. You got to pick and choose things. I understand that in busy schedules. But who do we need wisdom from? We need wisdom to make those decisions. We don't want to influence in the wrong way. We don't want to go the wrong path. Where is the influence I have? We need God's help. And how do we get God's help? It's by having the right respect and fear of God. Fourth, and this is the last one, and it's not the least, it's probably one of the most important ones, is mothers should be appreciated. Mothers should be appreciated. I know there's two different words, but mothers should be appreciative of the opportunity that God's given you. He's given you an opportunity to influence someone. But the main part of the point is mothers should be appreciated. Look here in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 31. You take your Bible, go back there in Proverbs 31, verse 31, it says, 31:30 says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And it's talking about it, she should be appreciated. Here in verse number 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. You think about that, what that's saying is that she will be appreciated. Now, maybe not always. I know I didn't always appreciate my mom. I know I'm the preacher, so I get to always talk about my mom a little bit on Mother's Day, but I didn't always appreciate my mom. But I can look back on my life now, and I don't know if there's anyone who influenced me more and greater than my mom did. She had a wonderful testimony. She was always faithful. She didn't give up on us. She didn't give up on me. Believe me, the type of kid I wasn't the greatest. I wasn't that I was involved in some great sin, but I was disrespectful. I was smart aleck. And I had to get it beaten out of me for the most part. And I just would not give her the due or the respect she deserves. But when I called my mom this morning, bright and early, I praised her. I rose up and said to her, I says, Mom, I appreciate everything you've ever did. And I think that, once again, she's not perfect. There is no woman that is perfect. There's no man that's perfect. It's Jesus Christ is the only perfection. I thanked her. And I think she appreciated the call. And she always keeps it short because she starts crying on the phone. But she says, I know you got to go. You got a lot to do. I said, Mom, no, it's Mother's Day. I want to say I'm thankful for all you do. And I appreciated her. I know sometimes it might be tough. It might be hard if you're going the right direction, men or women. Your kids might not seem like they appreciate you now. But I believe if they get to where they're supposed to be, they're going to look back. And if you try to raise them right, they're going to be thankful. And to be honest with you, we did a lot of things as a family. We went camping and this and that. But most of those things don't matter to me as much as the influence that my mom had. You need to learn to appreciate the mom that God gave you. Husbands, you need to learn to appreciate the wives God's given you. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that you say some moms don't deserve to be appreciated. But you show me where it says that in the Bible. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. Does it say if they're good? No, it says you treat them with respect. And you appreciate them. Now remember, today is first and foremost the Lord's Day, right? Isn't that true? I mean, it's not. Mother's Day came a long time after the Lord's Day, didn't it? So, I mean, we got the Lord's Day first. But how does the Lord say you can honor him? It's by being obedient to him. You're in his house today. That's great. But also he tells you to honor your father and mother. So learn to appreciate. Husbands, learn to love your wives the way that Christ loved the church. Children, learn to love and honor and obey your parents. Take your Bible real quick here. Flip back just one page probably to Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 11. Proverbs 30, verse number 11, the word of God said, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother." Isn't that sad? There's a generation that has arise on the scene or came on the scene that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. You know what? Time and place I see the world that we live in today, I think that's similar to this generation today. You go to TV, you go to the store, you see the way kids treat their parents. It's just wrong. It's sad. And I want to encourage you, don't be that way. But there's also another thing that disturbs me just as much as a child not treating their mother or father properly is when a parent doesn't treat their kids properly either. It's a growing trend that people just want to throw away their kids nowadays. It's a growing trend that people want to commit abortion instead of being a father or mother like they should be. It is a growing trend when we see mothers and fathers not taking an invested interest in their child's well-being, much less their spiritual well-being. This is supposed to be an encouragement to you today. Mothers, you are busy. We're all busy, but mothers, the story there in Proverbs chapter 31 about being the last one to go to bed and the first one to wake up, that happens in my house many times. Not every day, but most days. You know, she's the late last one up, and she's the first one awake. And I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying they give you some principles there to go by, ladies, to help you there. And you are busy. That's why you need God's help. You have great influence. That's why you need God's help. You need to learn to fear the Lord. That's why you need God's help. Why do I need God's help? You need God's help to teach you to understand who He is so you can fear Him properly. You need God's help because you deserve to be appreciated. And the mother that acts like the lady in Proverbs chapter 31 is one that will truly be appreciated. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I encourage you in just a second, we're going to have an invitation. And in that invitation, we encourage people to come forward. If God's spoken to their heart, they kneel at the altars, or maybe they sit at their seats and God works in their hearts and lives and they pray, maybe get some things right. But if you've never been saved, you say, what do you mean by saved? If you do not know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, I encourage you to come forward. Let us have somebody take the Bible and teach you and show you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you die today, you go to heaven. They'll take you back to a back room. If you're a lady will take you back. If you're a guy will take you back there and open up the Bible and teach you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. But if you're a Christian here today, understand that we all are busy. Understand that we all have influence. Understand that we all need to have the right perspective of the Lord. And ask for God's help. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Believe me, I could not pass through this church without God's help and God's wisdom. I have a busy, busy schedule. I do a lot of different things. And that's why I need God's help. That's the reason why I need to seek Him. So I don't got time. Now, the busier you are, if you're too busy to pray, then that's another reason why you actually need to pray more, because of how busy you are. And I think we should look today. How are we really influencing our kids and our generation around us? And let's seek God's help. That begins by having a proper understanding and fear of the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go ahead and raise to our feet.